if we have discussed the final topic of Bhagavad Gita, which is covered in chapters 13 to 17. And we just briefly went through these five chapters and we looked at the final topic of Jnana Yoga. And then we came to the last and the longest chapter in the Gita, which is chapter 18, and this consists of 78 verses. And this chapter 18 is basically a summary of all the teachings of the Gita. The important points are all covered in chapter 18. And this chapter 18 started with a question from Arjuna requesting Krishna to clarify what is sannyasa and what is tyaga. And the direct translation of this word, sannyas and tyaga, basically means the same, renunciation. So is there a difference in sannyas and tyaga? Krishna will say no, actually both mean one and the same thing. And why is sannyas so important to know what exactly is sannyas? Because we are given in the scriptures the four goals of human life, the four purushartas, which is kama, dharma, kama, artha, moksha. And moksha is said to be basically sannyas, that the state of sannyas, to give up. But what exactly are we supposed to give up? Most of us are confused. Are we supposed to leave our home, leave our family, our possessions, everything? Is that called sannyas? So we should understand what is the correct definition of sannyas. So in order to answer Arjuna's question, first in verses 2 and 3, Krishna explains what was the current at that time prevalent view about sannyas. There was a lot of confusion even at that time, during the end of Dwapara Yuga, when this dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna was going on. And a lot of sages and saints had their own opinions or views of sannyas. So first of all, in verse number 2, Krishna wants to give the opinion of other learned people to say what is the prevailing view of sannyas at that time. So he says, kavayaha, in the second line of verse 2, page 305, you will find the word kavayaha. Kavayaha comes from the root word kavi, which means poet. Generally, kavi is called a poet. But who exactly is a poet? You and I look at a flower. Supposing we see a rose flower and I tell you to describe the rose flower, probably in two lines you'll be able to say it is red in color, it has got green stalk, it has got thorns, and that's about it. But a poet can look at the same rose flower and he can write elaborate pages of poetry. What we don't see, the poet sees. So kavayaha means a person who has got a very subtle mind. It talks about the mindset of a person who is able to analyze and look at the very subtle meaning of life. So such kind of people, the kavayaha, learned ones, great thinkers, what was their knowledge? Viduhu, they declared. What did they declare? Sannyasa to be nyasam. Sannyasa means nyasam. Nyasam means giving up. What? Karmana, actions. Giving up actions. What type of actions? Kamyanam karmana. The word kamyanam you can see in the first line. Karmanam. Karmanam is actions. Giving up actions which are kamyanam.
Desires.
With desires. So, before we discuss this, we must understand that every action has got three components. One is the action that we do, which is called karma. Any action we do is called karma. And every action, the second component is the result. What happens after the action? Positive or negative result, there is a result. And the third aspect of every action is what is the motive that drives the action. Thus you have motive, action, result. These are the three components of any action. So these learned people say that sannyas is to give up actions that are kamyana, where the motive of the action, the source of the action is selfishness. Any action which is driven or motivated by selfish attitude, give up that action. Now what does this mean? It means, number one, doing all kinds of prayers and rituals. If we do any prayer and ritual expecting something in return, give up that prayer and ritual, give up that action. If we do any action, worldly action also, expecting some reward in return, give up that action also. In short, it means giving up both spiritual and worldly actions where there is a motive, where there is a desire for selfish returns. Giving up those type of actions is called sannyas. That is one view. Okay? Now, that means what they are saying, you should not give up all actions. If you do actions where there is a selfless attitude, where that action is dedicated to God, to Ishvara, and where which action leads to purification of mind, and that eventually leads you to knowledge, that action you don't give up. But sannyas is giving up what type of actions? Selfish driven actions. That is called sannyas. So that is one view. Now, then there is another view. He says there is another group of great masters. If you look at the fourth line of verse 2, you will see the word vichakshanaha. Vichakshanamaha means great masters or acharyas. So they hold a view. Prahu, they say, what do they say? Tyagaha. So now they are saying sannyas has got different meaning, tyaga has got different meaning. What is tyagaha? Tyagaha is tyagam. You can see the word sarva karma pala tyagam, and again tyagam in the third line you see tyagam, in the fourth line you see tyagam. So they are saying tyagam, renunciation, is what? To tyagam, to give up sarva karma phala tyagam, to give up the fruit of the action. So now you see the difference. Sannyas says your motive of the action is selfish, give up that action. Other group of people say if you do action, you do all types of actions, even selfish actions you also do. You take care of your family, everything, whatever, you set up your business, you do all your prayers, rituals, expecting something in return, carry on doing. But what should you give up? The result you should give up. Now this also we have to understand, what do you mean giving up the results? Because the result you are going to get. So what do you mean by giving up the results? Okay, what do you mean by non-attachment to the result? Whether it is acceptable or not acceptable, you surrender that result to Ishvara. So you don't be attached. Although you may desire something, but if favorable response comes, you thank the Lord. If unfavorable response comes, you also thank the Lord. You accept it as Ishvara Prasada. That is called Tyaga. So therefore, there are two views that one, sannyas means give up selfish motivated actions. Tyaga is to do all types of actions and duties. Even if you do with selfish attitude, do them, but surrender the results to the Lord. Take everything as a prasadam from the Lord. So now there are the two views on sannyas and tyaga. Now we come to verse number 3. Is this clear? Any confusion? Right? Everything clear? Okay. Now comes another view. In verse number 3, there are two different views. What are the views? Here in verse number 3, Krishna says, in first line you see the word AK means some or one group of Manishinaha. There is another group of learned people. Manishinaha means also some kind of philosophers, learned people. Prahu, they say what? Karma, all karmas without exception. Whether you do rituals, prayers, whether you do your duties, responsibilities, whatever you have, they say tyajam, give up every action. Don't take up any action at all. Why? Because their attitude is every karma leads to a bondage. Whatever you do, there is bondage. And we saw that in chapter 14. If you do tamasic karma, bondage. Rajasic karma, bondage. What about sattvic karma?
Also
bondage. So since all our karmas will fall either under sattvic or rajasic or tamasic, the only way to free yourself from bondage is what? Give up all karmas. Don't do any karmas. Of course, minimum karmas like taking care of your body, eating, water, food and sleep, do the very basic karma. So their contention is that sannyas or tyaga means giving up all activities, totally don't do anything at all. Because why? He says here, karma doshavat. Karma doshavat. You can see the first line. Doshavat means they have defects. Every karma has a defect. What is the defect? The defect is not that the action is wrong. The action may be right. You may be giving charity, but if you are giving with even sattvic attitude, also there is bondage also. And of course, rajasic and tamasic also will cause bondage. So since all actions have got defects, it is better if you want to be totally free, you want moksha, give up all actions. That is called sannyas. Okay? Then he says, apare, in the fourth line you will see, cha apare, cha means and, apare means others. Now there is another group of people. So one more opinion again. See, that's why it's so confusing. Why already you are confused, I am confused. That time also people are already confused. What is sannyas? There's so many opinions are there. Now there is another group of people. They say, tyajam, na tyajam, don't give up. You can give up all actions, every type of action you can give up, but don't give up three types of action. What are the three actions? Yakya, dana, tapa, na tyajam. Don't ever give up these three actions. That is called sannyas. So sannyas means don't give up yakya, dana, tapa. Give up any other action except yakya, dana, tapa. What is yajna? What is yajna? Sacrifice, meaning prayers and rituals. Okay? So prayers and rituals, don't give up. Yajna. Dana is charity. Tapaha is austerity. So now you have two group of people. One says what? Sannyas means give up all karmas because every karma is defective. Don't do any activity at all. Give up everything. Second group says, give up everything except don't give up yakya, dana, tapa. That is called sannyas. So this is basically the prevailing view. Now in verse number 4, Krishna is going to talk about what is the his opinion about sannyas. And you will notice that he will say both are one and the same. So when he says sannyas, you can take it as tyaga. When he says tyaga, you can take it as sannyas. There is no difference. But what he wants to emphasize is that sannyas, so I will just use the word sannyas, okay, not to complicate the matter further. Sannyas has got three varieties: sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. That is what Krishna wants us to understand, that sannyas has got three varieties. And what is it, he will explain to us. Okay. So now, see, sannyas is presented to us in the Upanishads as a formal type of renunciation. That means when one is ready, mentally ready, then you want to give up everything is fine. You go away to ashram, you give up all your possessions and you lead a very simple life. But you must be mentally prepared. But what sannyas here that Krishna is going to talk about is, while being in society, while being in the family life, also you can practice sannyas. Because sannyas is a state of the mind, it does not depend on where you are staying, on what type of clothes you wear. As long as you have the state of the mind, you can be a sannyasi in the household or in the ashram. It is the state of the mind that we must maintain. So, if a person is going to take up sannyas in the ashram, that is called the formal type of sannyas, you can take that up either from Brahma. You see, we have gone through that there are four stages, right? Brahmacharya, Grihas, Vanaprasth, then sannyas. So sannyas is the fourth stage of life. So one can take up sannyas from Brahmacharya. You can jump to sannyas from bachelor life. You can jump to sannyas, no problem. From Grihas, family life, also you can jump to sannyas, no problem. And of course Vanaprasth will lead you into sannyas. But there are certain conditions. What is the condition? When you take up this formal sannyas, condition number one is that person must entertain no other goal in life except moksha. Moksha should be your only goal in life. You should not think of karma, you should not think of artha, you cannot think of any other goal, any worldly goal, about possessions, about desires, etc. Even doing prayers to attain Swarga Loka, you must give up those kind of desires. So if you are prepared to give up everything, all types of desires, and only entertain the goal of moksha, then you can take up formal sannyas. Secondly, you must dedicate your life to Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasana. We have discussed these three. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasana. You must dedicate your life exclusively to this one. Okay? Secondly, there must be emotional strength. Because once you leave everything, you give up everything, so there are a lot of sacrifices you have to make. You have to remain very steadfast on your path. So you must have a lot of emotional strength also. But Krishna is not going to present this type of sannyas here. Because why?
Majority of us
are householders. And who is he talking to here? Arjuna, who is also a householder.
Yeah.
So he wants to present to us sannyas as a state of the mind. To start cultivating first that state. Before you want to take up formal sannyas, you must have the right state of mind. So he tells Arjuna here, in verse number 4, he addresses Arjuna as Bharata Sattama. Bharata Sattama means, Sattama, Uttama means the most noblest of all Bharatas. Meaning he is telling Arjuna, you are qualified to listen to these teachings of sannyas. And you are also qualified because you have noble characteristics in you, you are qualified to follow the path of sannyas. So he is giving him some encouragement also. He is saying now, Srunu me, listen to me very carefully. See, even the guru, when they want to impart the knowledge, they want to make sure they are imparting the knowledge to the right people who are interested to listen. So first of all, is the person qualified to listen? Is the person interested in a spiritual path? Otherwise, if you talk to them about all these noble ideas, sacrifice and all, they are not at all interested. So here he is telling Arjuna, you are qualified to listen, you are qualified to follow the path of sannyasa. Now listen to me about what? My conclusion, nishchayam. Nishchayam means my firm conclusion. Regarding what? Regarding tyaga. Tatra tyaga. So he uses the word tyaga. Suddenly you find the word sannyas is disappeared. Why is disappeared? Because it means one in the same thing. Okay? So don't get confused. They both mean the same thing. Okay. So he says, listen to me now. I am going to tell you my firm conclusion on what is sannyas. And he addresses also Arjuna with another name, Purusha Vyagra. Purusha Vyagra. Purusha means a human being, a man. Vyagra means the greatest of men. So again, you are a divine person, you are a good person, you are ready to listen and you are ready to follow these teachings of mine. That's why I am imparting these teachings to you. Okay? So what he says is, Tyaga, in the third line, Tyaga, fourth line, Trivida Samprakritita. Tyaga, renunciation, Samprakritita is very clearly defined. One must not get confused that Tyagaha Samprakritita is clearly declared as what? Trivida, three times. So this is what now Krishna has introduced. He doesn't want to say what is Tyaga and what is Sannyasa. He is just saying now there are three types of renunciation. Trivida Samprakritita, three kinds, which is basically Sattvic, Rajasic and Tamasic. So what is Sattvic renunciation? Sattvic renunciation, remember now we are talking about a practical form of renunciation which can be followed by all householders. So what is Sattvic renunciation? Where actions are performed but there is an absence of selfish desire. With an absence of selfishness in your actions, where you perform actions and you surrender the actions to the Lord and you receive the results as Ishvara Prasadam, that is called Sattvic renunciation. Okay? What is Rajasic renunciation? When there is a desire for results and actions are thus performed with a desire, those kind of actions are called Rajasic renunciation. And what is Tamasic renunciation? When people drop actions, when people give up duties and responsibilities due to a contrary understanding about what is renunciation. So they are not sure, but they think that giving up is called renunciation. They give up with ignorance, they give up duties and responsibilities. That is called tamasic renunciation. So now, for one who has transcended the three gunas, there are two types of renunciation. There are two parts. For one who has transcended the three gunas, the renunciation falls under two kinds. One is, we practice Sattvic renunciation. We will understand what is Sattvic renunciation. We do all our duties and responsibilities without any expectation of results. What is the final result of that? Supposing you take up Sattvic renunciation, you take care of the family, you discharge all your duties, you do prayers, rituals, but you have no expectation of any rewards or results. What is the end result of such a sattvic renunciation? Chitta Shuddhi, that is internal purification. And this internal purification will take you to the next stage, which is what? What will it take you to? There will then arise a thirst for knowledge. So once there is inner purity, automatically there arises a thirst for knowledge. Then you pursue the path of Jnana Yoga. So the purpose of performing sattvic actions, renunciation, is to purify ourselves, not see whether we base our progress on material gains or do we base our progress on inner purity. A sattvic person accepts whatever he gets in life, but his aim, his goal is inner purification. How do you know you have inner purification? How do you know you have inner purification? What qualities?
The 26 qualities.
The 26, correct. The 26 qualities which were given in chapter 16, verses 1, 2 and 3, the divine qualities. The more and more you follow sattvic renunciation, you have peace of mind, calmness of mind, and you have more of these 26 qualities which are known as the divine qualities. And that will increase your thirst for knowledge. Then you come to the path of knowledge also. You dedicate your life to this path of knowledge. So in the Upanishad, such a kind of sannyasa is given a name. It is called Vividisha Sannyasa. Vivid, V-I-V-I, D-I-S-H-A, Vividisha Sannyasa. It means, what does it mean? Renunciation, see, is called sannyasa. So the definition is given, Vividisha Sannyasa. It is not called sannyasa because you have gone to the ashram. It is called Vividisha Sannyasa. It means that you have renounced for the sake of attaining self-knowledge. It is a type of renunciation where you do all sattvic actions, renouncing the fruit of your actions for inner purity. So you have renounced for the sake of attaining self-knowledge. You have not attained self-knowledge, but you have done the actions that have prepared your mind to attain self-knowledge. So that is called Vividisha Sannyasa. And where Krishna is going to mention this in chapter 18, if you take a quick look at verse number 49, you will see that description of a sannyasi who has purified himself and now is on the path of knowledge. Chapter 18, verse 49, page 325. He whose intellect is unattached all around, who has subdued his self, free from desire, he attains the supreme state of freedom from action by renunciation. When we come to that verse, we'll discuss that. But that is the description of this person who has gone through sattvic renunciation, purified himself, and now the mind is tuned towards self-knowledge. And the second type is on whom the knowledge has already dawned. He or she has gone through the path of knowledge, has attained that knowledge, understands that I am the Atma, I am not this body. For such a kind of person is ready to give up everything. That state of sannyas is called Vidvat Sannyasa, V-I-D V-A-T, Vidvat Sannyasa. So Vidvat Sannyasa means one who renounces everything upon after attaining knowledge. Right, that is the ultimate goal. Okay? So for what, and that again has been explained by Krishna in the earlier chapter. If you go back to chapter 3 verses 17, chapter 3 verses 17, that is on page 66. Chapter 3 verse 17 and 18. Both these verses. There Krishna has described Vidvat Sannyasi, who has already attained the knowledge, who has nothing more to know and has renounced everything. So what is that description? He who takes delight in the self, is satisfied in the self, is content in the self, has no duty. Verse 18, for him there is no interest whatsoever in what is to be done and what is not done. He has nothing to achieve, he has nothing to prove anymore. He has already attained the higher state of renunciation. Okay? So both these parts are there, but here what Krishna is talking about is vividisha sannyasa, to perform the actions with the right attitude. So now he will start to describe what is this sannyasa, his definition of sannyasa. So now he comes to verse number 5. So he says, yajna, danam, tapa. These three things, yajna, as we said, are the what we call prayers and rituals. And don't forget, yajna also covers the pancha maha yajnas that we discussed last week. Did we discuss that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, pancha maha yajnas. So yajna covers our prayers, our rituals, and our five duties that we have to do. Yajna. Danam is charity, as you know, in various forms of sharing money, clothing, food, etc. Tapaha, austerities. Okay? What does Krishna say? These three things, yajna, dana, tapa, look at second line, na tyajam, you should never, ever, ever give up. Now he's telling us the definition of a sannyasi. These three duties, yajna, dana, tapa, na tyajam, should never be given up. And he enforces this point by adding one more word, karyam eva tat. Karyam eva tat means they should be performed. Not only should they not be given up, you must make an effort to make sure that you perform these three actions. This is not a choice. Should I do yajna? Should I do danam? Should I do tapa? No. He is saying you must bring these three sadhanas into your life. Very, very important sadhanas. They surely must be performed. Okay? They are, when he says surely must be performed, means what? They are compulsory duties. They are compulsory duties. You cannot avoid them, you should not avoid them, you must not avoid them. Okay? Now, why this three is particularly picked? If you look at it, this three, yajna is our duty to Ishvara, isn't it? When we do prayers, when we do rituals, when we serve society, all this yajna is our duty to Ishvara, to the Lord. So yajna covers our duties to the Lord. Dhanam covers our duty to society. When you give charity, money, clothes, food, when you plant trees, when you feed the animals, that is also a form of danam, anadanam. That is your duty to society. So now you have done your duty to Ishvara through yajna. Through danam you have done your duty to society. And what is tapaha? Duty to ourselves. To discipline ourselves. So yajna, dana, tapa actually in a nutshell takes care of your entire duties to Ishvara, to society and to yourself. Okay? All the three must be performed. But attitude must be correct. Because dhanam we are all doing, tapas we are all doing, prayers we are all doing, but is our attitude correct? So here he will talk about an attitude, not about how much money you should give, how many flowers you should donate, how many fruits you must give to the temple. No. He is going to talk about the attitude that makes a difference between sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. Okay? So yajna, dana, tapa, karyam eva tat, must be performed. Why? So why should these three be performed? He gives us the reason. In the last line, fourth line, pavanani manishinam. Manishinam means of the wise people. Wise people meaning who? meaning those who have understood the true purpose of life. What is my purpose, my role in this world, in this creation? Why have I been given this human form? Once I understand my goal of life, Manishina, these are the Manishinas, the wise people who have understood the true goal of life. And when they perform this Yakya Dana Tapa with the right attitude, what is the result? Pavanani. They, the three Yakya Dana Tapa, will purify. They are the purifiers. They have got purifying properties also. So therefore, this is basically for every Karma Yogi, because since he is telling you to perform, means you are a Karma Yogi. You are not a Jnani, you have not reached that level yet. You are a Karma Yogi. You have all kinds of duties and responsibilities. Perform them with the right attitude, they will purify you. Pavanani Manishina. That is the effect of all these three duties that we perform. Okay? And how should they be performed? The next verse, because people might say, but I am doing all this, I am doing prayers and rituals, I am also giving charity, and I am also keeping austerities, but if I am doing all this in a, with a rajasic and tamasic attitude, is it going to purify me?
No,
this is what Krishna wants to make us understand. It does not mean that just because you are doing yakya, dana, tapa, if you are doing it with the right wrong attitude, it is not going to purify you. So in the next verse 6, he emphasizes this point. That any karma done with a selfish motive or desire is going to give you results. It is not that it won't give you results. If you do prayers and rituals in our shastras, there are mentioned that there are certain prayers and rituals you can do to attain Swarga Loka. You can go to Swarga Loka. It's not that you don't get the results. If you are giving Dhanam and telling the Lord, Lord, I'm giving so much of Dhanam, I expect some punyam. I want, you know, success in my business. I want this, I want that, I want Swarga Loka. You will get it. But what you won't get? No, moksha possession. What you won't get? Purification you won't get. Purification you will never get. Why? Because you are acting out of ego, you are acting out of desire, selfish desire, you will never ever get purification. You will get whatever results you want, but you will never get purification. Punyam you will get. So therefore, proper action with proper attitude. And what is it now? Krishna says, I am going to explain to you. So here he says, Me Nishchitam, verse number 6. Me Nishchitam means, this is my firm conclusion. So whose conclusion should we follow? What does learned people have said? Or what Bhagavan has said? What Krishna has said, right? So he is telling us now, this is his firm conclusion. About what is sannyas, what is the glory of sannyas, he is going to say, etani, etani here means, if you see the word etani, which is in the first line, etani means he is talking about these three, yakya, dana, tapa. Etani karmani, these three actions, kartavyani, have to be performed. It is our duty to perform. How? Now comes the important point. He says, kartavyani, they have to be performed. They should never be given up, these three. But how? Tyaktva, in the second line, tyaktva sangam phalani. Tyaktva, renounce, sangam, attachment to phalani results. Perform this yakya dana tapa, but renounce the attachment to the results. So that attitude must be correct. The right attitude. So it does not matter how much you offer in dana, how much flowers you put in the temple. What is important is your attitude. So you remember that very famous verse in chapter 9. What is the attitude? A very famous verse. Patram pushpam palam toyam. Offer me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, some water. But he says, offer it with devotion in your heart. Does not matter. He's asking you to just say one fruit, one flower, one leaf, a little water. Don't have to be excess in your offerings. But he says, what I want is the love and devotion in your heart. So the attitude must be correct. Sangam tyaktva, renounce the attachment to the results. Now, what does it mean actually? See, last week one brother asked a question that we go and do seva. And oftentimes you find when you do seva, people still criticize. Right? People scold you, people criticize you, tell you you're not doing enough, you didn't do the right way, and this and blah 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 and all. And what happens to us?
Discouraged.
You get discouraged. I'm not going to go there. Why should I go there? I go there, I get insulted. So much work I do, morning I get up, I sacrifice my time, people insult me. Now, why is that? Why do we get discouraged? You expect people to come and thank you, but nobody come and thank you.
Didn't expect it.
Now think what he is trying to tell you here. And this is where we come to the word ahamkara, very important to understand. Okay. Ahamkara has got two meanings. One is ego. One is ego means we say, you know, that fellow has got a real ego. You know. Means what? He's a very proud fellow. Okay. But here we are not talking about ahamkara as an ego. Here we are talking about ahamkara, which is the second meaning, which means identification with the body. You see? Now you have two choices. Either you identify yourself as the body, which is 99% of the time what we are doing, or you identify yourself as the higher self, as the consciousness. What is the role of the consciousness? Is a witness and is the consciousness and the witness of the body. Am I the doer?
No.
I am not the doer. Who is doing all the actions? The lower self, the body, right? The body is doing the action, the senses are doing the action, the mind is doing the action. Who am I? I am the higher consciousness, higher I, okay? The minute we identify ourselves with this lower I, anybody praises you, anybody insults you, what happens? Either you get happy or you get agitation. But when you are able to mentally, not physically, you cannot separate yourself from your body. When you are able to mentally stand back and say, I am not doing the action. The body is acting. I am the higher I am the consciousness. When I look upon all my transactions as the consciousness, whatever people insult, whatever people praise, what has it got to do with me? You see? Our problem comes with identification. And this is a very difficult thing because the morning we wake up, first thing what we do? The first thing we see in the mirror, we see ourselves, isn't it? You brush your teeth, you see yourself, you comb your hair, you see yourself. Immediately identification of body. From morning to night, we are identifying the body. That's why knowledge is very, very important. Constantly, we have to bring this thought into our mind. Aham, Atma, Asmi. I am not this body. I am the higher consciousness. Now, out of 10 times you might try, 9 times you might fail. But if that one time you succeed, you are already going somewhere in the right direction. So you have to keep on reminding yourself, because you are identified with the body, everything that happens to the body affects you. Of course, more serious problems are more difficult to disidentify. It takes time. But initial things like you go and do seva, somebody insults you. The minute somebody insults you, you say, Aham Atma Asmi. No problem. Say what you want. Insult me, praise me, do whatever you want. It doesn't affect me anymore. See? So that's why the word Ahamkara comes in. Identification. So Sangam Tyaktva, renounce the attitude that I am the doer. I am not the doer. The body is acting by, motivated by what? Consciousness does not motivate the body. The gunas, the three gunas motivate. How your body functions is based on the three gunas. How the mind functions is based on the three gunas. You are above the three gunas. You are the witness, the consciousness. If you can keep on reminding yourself that, you won't have any problem at all. Okay? So, Sangam Tyaktva. You are an instrument. The body is an instrument in the hands of the Lord. I am not the doer. The body has been given to me as an instrument in the hands of the Lord. So just like what you know, you are the ATM machine. What is the ATM machine? Anybody goes ATM machine, punch in, the machine gives you the money. The ATM machine does not have any attachment. You want 1,000, you take 1,000. You want 5,000, you take 5,000. I am like that. I am the ATM machine. I am just performing the functions. Okay? So, Phalani, the results, don't have that expectation. Don't think of yourself as the doer. I am just an instrument in the hands of the Lord. Okay? Now, so here Krishna has defined for us very clearly that perform yajna dana tapa, but detach yourself from the results and always consider yourself as an instrument in the hands of the Lord. So remove your doership and remove your enjoyership also. Okay? Now, in verse number 7, he says now, if one is desirous to eradicate the cause of bondage, first of all, we know we have to give up all the selfish actions, okay, and perform them with the right attitude. Okay? So now he says, here, verily, the renunciation of bounded duty is not proper. What is bounded duty? Niyatasya karmano. He's talking about a particular type of actions which is called niyatam karma. So the word niyatasya karma, you see the word in the first line, niyatasya karma, the root word is niyatam karma. Niyatam karma means these are your compulsory duties you must not give up. Now, compulsory duties can vary from person to person. It varies from age to age also. When we are a bachelor, we got different duties. As a married person, we have different duties. Retirees, we have different duties. Also depends on your profession. So, depending on your state of life, your stage of life, you will have certain compulsory duties which you cannot give up, you must not give up. And that's why if you realize in the four orders of life, what we call brahmachari, grihas, vanaprash, sannyas, what is the common term used for all four? Ashrama. All are ashramas. Brahmachari, ashrama. Grihas, ashrama. Vanaprash, ashrama. Sannyasam, ashrama. So what does it tell us? As a householder, you can term your house is an ashrama. The people you live with under one household, treat it as an ashrama. Cultivate that right attitude. It is not just when we go to temple only that we are in that sattvic frame of mind. Why don't you convert your home into a temple? Have that attitude that God is there in your house, that your home becomes an ashrama. So when the house becomes an ashrama, all your duties, whatever you have, take up all your duties and responsibilities. Okay? And he says, depending on your ashrama. Therefore, giving up these duties and responsibilities, he says the word here in second line, na upapadyate. Na upapadyate means it is not justifiable. If you give up all your duties and or any duty and responsibility, not to say all, maybe some, normally what duty and responsibility we like to give up? What type of duties and responsibility we like to give up?
That you dislike.
That you dislike, that gives you a lot of pain, a lot of trouble. Example, looking after aged parents gives us a lot of difficulties, right? Maybe you go to work also, you find boss giving problem and all that kind of things. But he says these are your niyatam karma, they are your bounden duties. You should never give up, but perform them with the right attitude. Because by giving up the duties, what you will never get? You will never get purification of mind. But when you do your duties with the right attitude, you will attain inner purification. So don't look for external rewards. Understand, if you do your duty with the right attitude, your reward is inner purification. Don't look for that external result. Whether the person thanks you, whether the person doesn't thank you, whether the person is friendly or hostile, that is not the criteria. Every duty done with the right attitude will give you a result, and that result is inner purification. So he says, you should never give up. Na upapadyate, it is not justifiable to give up. And he says, therefore, anyone who gives up any duty or responsibility, abandons it, it is doing it out of moha. The word moha is there. Moha is delusion. If you give up, run away or avoid any duties, it is only due to your own delusion. What do you mean by delusion? Delusion means you have wrongly understood, you have misinterpreted what is the reason for doing this duty. Now, think about it. You have taken birth with a certain amount of karmas. These karmas are called prarabdha karmas that have to be exhausted in this lifetime. So because of this prarabdha karmas, you are put into a situation in a certain environment to meet certain type of people who will either be friendly or either be hostile. If you run away from the situation, what do you think is going to happen to that karma?
Come back to you.
It will come back to you in one way or the other. You cannot run away from it. If not in this life, also next life it will come back to you. So you run away from a household where you say wife is giving problem, children are giving problem. So you run away, you go to an ashram. What happens? People in the ashram will give you problem also. You cannot run away. So what he is trying to tell you is, you are put into a situation, do your duties. Do your duty with the right attitude. You are burning up the karmas. Number two, you are purifying yourself. But the more you try to avoid the duties, the more you are not, number one, you are not burning up the karma. Number two, you are not purifying yourself. So understand there is a reason. And don't give up. If you give up, it is out of moha. If you surrender, if you give up, that is only because of your moha, misinterpretation or misunderstanding.
Sorry,
yes.
Something crossed my mind. You said if you try to run away from the situation, you are put in.
Yeah.
Because you have karma. Let's say, for example, husband and wife, they're fighting. One goes for divorce, they go for divorce. Are they running away?
You see, if one party goes for divorce, okay? Now, supposing you were supposed to go through some kind of situation and you decide to split up, okay? Somehow or other, that another way that situation will present to yourself. You have to burn up that karma. So yes, you may disengage yourself now from this spouse and avoid that karma, but somehow or other, something maybe will come in another way, will present itself in another way.
you have finished your karma where you have to be with your wife and then
correct. You see, another thing is we must understand. If you are separating because of a domestic violence issue, that of course you have to move away from it, right? You're not going to say I'm going to face that domestic violence because it's my karma. No, you have every right to move away from it, right? So where you have to take the decision, you have to move. But whatever karma, whatever duty, what I'm talking about is duty. We are performing our duty to the spouse. That duty we should not give up. We are talking about the duty. But if that spouse decides to divorce you, then you don't have a chance to do the duty. But if you get married again, there's another way again you can perform the duty, right? Here we are talking about duties, the duties that we have to perform. We should not conscientiously run away from any duty. Whether to God, whether to Guru, whether to parents, whether to children, even to our working place, we have a certain duty to perform. We carry on our duty.
Yeah, but the duties, say as a parent to the child, or even as a spouse to one another, or our duty to our parents, if at a particular stage of our life, is changing.
Correct.
So it's not one particular duty and you have to do it.
No, it's not static, of course. It keeps moving as you keep on evolving in age. And of course, responsibility also changes also.
So
right?
Just like how our duty changes to our child as the child grows up.
Exactly.
If we are in our marriage for over a particular year, correct, even that duty changes to our organization.
Correct, yes. So when your children are young, I mean small, then you are in griha stage. When the children become old, they get married, they set up their own home, then you move to vanaprastha stage. So vanaprastha stage, your duties change again.
To the child,
right? So vanaprastha means retired life. Where earlier you were taking care of your children, but vanaprastha now, your child may not depend so much on you. So your duties change more to society. Maybe you want to do more social work, charity work and all that. So your duties change, right? And then, of course, vanaprastha stage comes more bigger duty. Taking care of grandchildren. Another type of duty comes. So different, yes, you are right. At different stages of life, it changes, right? That from grihas to vanaprastha, again the duty changes again.
Brother, you see, the difficulty is, example you brought up, like grandchildren.
Ah.
We start wondering, is this my
duty or is that
the...
It is your duty. Don't wonder, it is your duty.
It's like getting back into...
It is your duty.
Go through.
No, it is your duty. That's why it is.
Yeah, one of the you are supposed to be spiritually progressing, spending more time.
In fact, not one of the brahmachari should have been spiritually progressing.
Yeah, but when at that early stage, you are so engrossed in your worldly duty, inspired.
You see, at any stage you want to progress spiritually, you can. It is just an excuse people say. You know, I've got so many things to do, I'm never free. Even at vanaprastha stage, I have certain students suddenly they stop coming. Why? Because I take care of grandchildren. You see, every stage of life we have duties and responsibility. The question is how much time do we want to dedicate to our spiritual growth? Right? I know it's not easy, but you have to decide how much time you want to take out and sacrifice. We have time for party, we have time to watch 3-hour Bollywood movies. But we have no time for.
If your mind is tuned to God, whatever work you're doing, it doesn't become. I mean, you're doing your duty, but your mind is not. You're not attached to the.
To the duty, to the result of the duty.
But your mind is all the time.
So you have turned your duty into worship. You have turned your duty into worship. That's what you are doing. Every action you are turning into worship. So even taking care of the grandchildren, that also you are doing your duty. If you have changed the attitude, you are doing it for Ishvara. That duty becomes a worship. It's not necessary that you have to go to temple only, that is called worship. Your duty becomes a worship. Now, in verse number 8, Krishna talks about what is rajasic. Now that he said is tamasic renunciation. In verse 7, he said, anybody who gives up his duty, which is his responsibility, because of delusion, that is called tamasic renunciation. So you don't understand what is renunciation. You just think I give up the duty is called renunciation. That is called tamasic. Now what is rajasic renunciation? He says, yet, meaning that person, okay, in this case, this person, he does not want to, in the case of a tamasic person, he gives up yajna dana tapa. He gives up, but he thinks by giving up yajna dana tapa, that is called renunciation. That is tamasic renunciation. Now in the case of rajasic renunciation, he says, he gives up karma out of what? He gives up yajna dana tapa. Tyaja meaning to relinquish karma out of what? Bhaya klesha. Bhaya means out of fear, or klesha out of suffering or discomfort. Suffering or discomfort for the body. So certain things, like as I said, as I mentioned earlier, I don't take care of my aged parents. Why? Because it's troublesome, you know, it causes me a lot of anguish, a lot of sorrow, I got to give up my time from my work, you know, look after them. So I abandon them, I don't look after them. Out of what? Out of suffering. That kind of, and what somehow he says, dukkham, that will cause me any pain, I drop it. So supposing you give up yajna or even dana, let's say somebody tells you, come and do some seva here. You say, I have to get up early in the morning. Better I don't do that. So when you give up out of pain, out of suffering, you do not want to go through, you don't want to sacrifice your time and effort, and you give up any of this yajna dana tapa out of pain and out of suffering, he says that kind of giving up is rajasic sannyas, is renunciation of the rajasic type. First type is what? Giving up out of not understanding. That is tamasic. Giving up out because it brings you some bodily discomfort. You see, everything requires sacrifice. For you to come here means you have to give up something, right? Maybe you had a party to attend. Maybe you had invitation to a restaurant or something like that. So you gave up that to come here in order to attain some knowledge. But if you give up yajna dana tapa out of bodily discomfort because it brings you some pain or suffering, that kind of giving up is called rajasic sannyasa. Okay? And he says, by resorting to rajasic sannyasa, okay, you will never get na labhe alam. You will not attain the fruit of renunciation. So what do you mean by the fruit of renunciation? The fruit of renunciation, if you give up your duties, you give up yajna dana tapa because of pain, because of suffering, because of bodily discomfort, what is the fruit that you won't get? The fruit that you won't get is inner purification. And when there is no inner purification, it will only lead to your spiritual downfall. So tamasic renunciation is out of ignorance. Rajasic renunciation is out of pain or sorrow or bodily discomfort. Now therefore, what is sattvic renunciation? Okay, in verse number 9. He says, sattvic renunciation, now he uses the word again, niyatam karma. Niyatam karma is compulsory duties. What do you mean by compulsory duties? Which are prescribed in the scriptures. Basically falling under yajna dana tapa. Okay? Which are meant for our spiritual growth. So he says, sattvic renunciation is, now, to us renunciation is giving up. But look at the way he is presenting it. He says, sattvic renunciation is kriyate, is doing, not giving up. You see, the difference for us, we always think renunciation is giving up. But he brings in the word kriyate, which is in the second line. Kriyate means they are undertaken. All your duties and responsibilities are undertaken. But with what? With what intention? He says, Tyaktva Sangam Halav. With the Tyaktva renouncing Sangam attachment to the results. That is sattvic renunciation. That is what we have to practice. Doing all our duties and responsibilities, giving up the doership that I am doing. The problem is always we, you see here, one of the greatest bhakta was Hanuman, right? And when Hanuman was sent to find Sita, he went to Lanka and he was the first one who found Sita. Rama was, his mind was in total turmoil, in total, you know, he didn't know where is Sita, you know, he was in total sense of sadness, sorrow, turmoil. When Hanuman found Sita, first thing he rushed back to Rama. What do you think the first thing Rama wanted to hear? So what is the first word that has come out from Hanuman's mouth? The one word that Rama is waiting to hear. Found, right. But if I am a proud person, what do I say?
I found Sita,
right? But what did Hanuman say? Found Sita, I comes last. I am not the doer. First thing important is the work, my duty I do. Is the work, my responsibility I do. I never think of myself as the doer. I am just an instrument. The minute we consider ourselves our doer, as a doer, we are trapped. We are trapping ourselves. Then there is expectations. There is some reward, there is some result. I am doing this so for my children, I am doing this for my wife, I am doing this for my husband. Who are you doing it for? For God. When you are doing for Bhagwan, there is no more expectation. So don't look at external, think about the internal. So here he says, Tyaktva Sangam Alam. Do all your duties. That's why the word kriyate, do. Renunciation is not giving up, renunciation is doing, but the attitude has got to be changed. Attitude of renunciation is giving up the results of the action, considering yourself to be an instrument in the hands of the Lord. Renounce the fruit of the action, whether it is favorable or unfavorable. So he says, Saha Tyaga, that renunciation is called sattvika renunciation. That is the definition of renunciation. Okay? So all the three types of renunciation has been explained, tamasic, rajasic and sattvic. And now Krishna will carry on to explain about the sattvic renunciation. What is sattvic renunciation? Okay? In verse number 10. So verse number 10, here he says, who is a true renunciate, a true sannyasi? Who is the true sannyasi? So here he says, Tyagi, a person of renunciation. Tyagi means the one who is a renunciate, is one who is, if you look at the word in the third line, Tyagi, some avishti. You don't look at the word sattva, look at the second word there, which is samavishta. Samavishta. Okay? So don't look at the word sattva first. Look at the word samavishta. Avishta means permeated. Permeated. Samavishta means fully permeated. So who is a tyagi? Who is a renunciate? One who is fully permeated with what? Sattva. What is sattva? Sattva means mental perfection. So a tyagi, a renunciate, is one who is endowed with purity. What do you mean by purity? One who is devoid of rajasic and tamasic gunas. One who has abundance of sattvic gunas. Again, who is the one who has abundance of sattvic gunas? The one who has the 26 divine qualities as mentioned in chapter 16 verses 1, 2 and 3. So one who is devoid of impurity and therefore na dveshti, he does not hate, he does not run away from what? Akushalam karma. So one type of karma called akushalam karma. What is akushalam karma? It means that which is unbefitting action. This is not according to my status and position, why should I do it? Right? Or I avoid any duty or responsibility which does not give me any benefit. You know, often we ask the question, why should I do this? What is my benefit in this? But a tyagi, a true tyagi, only asks one question. Is it a duty? I have to do it. Does it benefit others? I have to do it. I never ask what is my benefit. So one who does not hate any action that is unbefitting, that does not bring any personal gain, such a person is a tyagi. So one type of action is akushalam karma. I do not hate any action that does not personally benefit me, that does not give me any personal satisfaction. I always look upon the bigger, the larger picture, whether it brings happiness to others, whether it helps others. And at the same time, kushale na anusajjate. If there is any action which is kushale, which is befitting to me, which gives me a lot of pleasure, happiness, glory, name, fame, na anusajjate. I don't become attached to that. So I don't run towards action where people are praising me, where people are giving me honor and praise. At the same time, I don't run away from action that does not befit me, that gives me pain, that gives me no recognition. So again, we come back to the same thing when we go and do seva. We run away from seva because that person insulted me. And therefore, I run away from seva. But first question you should ask yourself, should I be doing seva? Is it right or wrong to do seva? Is it right or wrong?
It's right.
Therefore, I should do it. That's it. That's the only question you have to ask yourself. Not whether somebody is criticizing me, not whether somebody is praising me, that is immaterial. That has got to be removed. So that ahamkar, that I, has got to be taken out of the equation. When you remove that little I away, then everything becomes Ishvara, everything becomes an offering to the Lord. So one who doesn't hate unbefitting action and one who doesn't run towards befitting action, who is not attached to that, fame, respect, recognition, we run towards that. In fact, you should be more wary when people start praising you. Right? Because sometimes there's an ulterior motive also. So you better be careful. So the more people praise you also, you better be careful. So, what is such a person? He says, such a person who does not abhor troublesome action and does not get attached to favorable action, Krishna gives a word here, beautiful word in the fourth line, you see the word, Medhavi. Medhavi. Medha means knowledge. Knowledge of the self, Medha. Medhavi means an enlightened person who is fit to attain that knowledge. So, that means by the performance of action, it purifies us and prepares our mind towards knowledge. The reason that you are attracted to the knowledge has to do with your past karmas, which you have accumulated in the past life, which you have accumulated in this life. You have not come by accident to knowledge. Definitely there is some preparation going on earlier. Whether you know it or you don't know it, you have been doing certain activities that have been purifying your mind and that has given you a thirst for knowledge. Because not everybody is interested in this knowledge. It's not easy. Unless you have that inner thirst, then only you will, move towards that direction. So, Medhavi is a person who has the, what we call the thirst for knowledge, who is an enlightened person, Medhavi. Why? Because of the very reason of not running away from what we call unfavorable duties and not getting only attached to favorable duties also. And such a person is also Chinna Samsaya. Samshaya means doubts. Chinna means to be free from doubts. One who is very clear about the goal and the purpose of life. Okay? So, Chinna Samshaya. Then we come to verse number 11. So, one may wonder that why not give up all action and jump straight to Jnana Yoga? Since Jnana Yoga is the ultimate destination for moksha, why not just give up action and jump to Jnana Yoga? So this also Krishna wants us to be very clear. Why you should never give up actions and jump into Jnana Yoga? So here he says, Na Sakhyam Karmani. It is not possible to give up Tyaktum all actions. You cannot give up all actions totally. Because in order to be in society, there are actions and activities that you have to do. So you should not give up those actions. It is not possible. In fact, even if you give up the actions in a household and you go to an ashram, what are you going to do there?
Mind will think.
Huh?
Mind will think.
No. If you are an accountant, okay, and you are living a household life and you are working as an accountant, I hope there are no accountants here. Just giving an example. And then you decide, this is very troublesome and the household troublesome and my workplace is troublesome. I run away, I go to an ashram. The first thing you go to ashram, they ask you, what do you do before? You say, I'm an accountant. So what do you think they'll give you, an ashram? You go to the ashram. Because you have to do something. So actually, logically speaking, one can never give up action. One should know how to do the action with the right attitude. So he is saying it is not possible to give up actions. Ase sataha. You cannot totally give up. Why? Because he gives the reason here. Deha purta. As long as you have this body, deha purta. Deha is body. Purta means one who holds on or one who has this body. Meaning as long as you have this body, there are certain basic things you have to do for the survival of this body. So, whatever it is, one cannot just give up actions. You have been given a body, you have been put into an environment, you have been given a certain family, certain siblings and certain situations. You have to understand how to use this equipment to navigate yourself around this, to purify yourself. So, therefore, do not follow the likes and dislikes. Learn how to use this body, learn how to adapt to that environment. So he says, the one who renounces the fruit of the action, here again, karma pala tyagi, he keeps coming back and back again to this one important point. Karma pala tyagi, karma, action, pala, fruit, tyagi, renounce the fruit of your action. Don't renounce, what is telling you in short? Don't renounce the action, renounce the fruit of the action. That is called sannyas. So we should have a very clear understanding of what is sannyas now. That it all has to do with the motive, it all has to do with the result, how we handle the result of the action. Because it is not the action that agitates you, always remember this. It is never the action that agitates you. What is it that agitates you?
The result.
It is the result that agitates you. It is the result that either pleases you or displeases you. The action doesn't cause any problem. It is the result that pleases you and or doesn't please you. And that is because of our expectations and that is because of our identification when we say, Aham Karta, I am the doer. So the word Aham Kar, I am the doer, comes from the word aham karta, I am the doer, that is where the attachment to the body, attachment to the action and everything comes. So repeatedly we are told karma phala tyagi, a renunciate is one who renounces the fruits of the action. And again, so he finally concludes in verse number 11, Satyagi Abhidiyate. Such a person is called a true renunciate. Abhidiyate means is called a Tyagi, a true renunciate. Based what? Not on the clothes you wear. Based not on where, whether you stay in an ashram or a forest or a cave, but based on what? Whether you are prepared to renounce the fruit of your action. So, one who does not grudgingly, see, when we say renounce fruit of the action, remember something, I do my duties without grudgingly doing it. Grudgingly doing it means what? You have not renounced the attachment to your results. So, don't grudgingly do the action. Just understand it is my duty, I have to do it. That's it.
But brother, does it mean you also can learn?
No, of course, love the duty.
He said, you shouldn't be attached to it.
Attached means what? That you always think that I only want to do that because that only brings me pleasure. When I do this only, then it brings me pleasure. So I keep running only
to that. Sometimes when you're doing your job, you enjoy it.
If you enjoy it, but you enjoy it for what purpose? You just enjoy doing the job, is fine. Right. But if you only keep thinking, I only want to do that because that is what I enjoy, and then I give up what does not bring me joy, then you are separating your duties and responsibilities into two sections. What I enjoy and what I don't enjoy. By right, you should not look at what I enjoy and don't enjoy. What you should look at? What is my duty? That's it. What is my duty? Full stop. But now we divide our duty into what I enjoy and what I don't enjoy. So what is telling in short there, don't look at that, just look at it as my duty. That's it. So we will come back next week, we will carry on with verse number 12. Vasudeva sutam devam kansa chanura mardanam devaki paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadguru. Thank you. Yes, just one quick announcement. We are having this Gita seminar half day at the Gita Ashram. What's the date?
26th August.
26th of August. It's a Saturday. It's from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Now, this seminar is not for new students. Who is this seminar for? It is for those who have no knowledge or little knowledge of the Gita. So the very beginners, if you have any friends, any relatives, please pass on the knowledge. If they want a very basic understanding of the Gita, please sign up for this seminar. There is a charge of 50 ringgit. First, we are giving the Gita book free and we are providing meals also. Right? So please announce it to your friends, relatives, and the date is there, 26th August, Gita Ashram, 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Thank you very much. Thank you.